I don't know why Christians can't smile and be happy. And when we come to church, we ought to be happy. Amen. This is the happiest time it ought to be. I remember the first time I went to, maybe the second time I went, when I was older, I went to Disney, and they said it's the happiest place on earth, and that ought not be. It ought to be the happiest place when we come to church, and anything we do for the Lord, it ought to be, and we need to be happy. Amen. The world's watching. They really are. They watch everything we do, and if we can't smile, and if we can't smile when things are tough, then we don't have anything any different than they do. You know, the world can gripe and complain, get upset, blame the snow and the cold and all the bad stuff and everything. We need to just rejoice and learn how to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to talk to you about something today, this morning and tonight, although we're doing the opposite tonight. This morning, I want to talk to you about two words. Those words are God can't. The only time in Scripture is right here in verse 13 of James 1, where it says God cannot. And it makes you, you kind of think, wow, we sang the song a while ago, He is able to deliver thee. Well, we know He's able. That's what the Bible says. There's no doubt about that. But there are some things where it says like it says in verse 13 here, the only time God cannot. God cannot. And so this morning, we're going to talk about God can't. And tonight, we're going to talk about God can. Father, I thank You for the Word of God. And I pray that You will help us now to draw our attention to the Scriptures. And God, that we would have our lives changed because of this time that we spend in Your Word. If there's anyone here that's not saved today, I pray they would get saved. Father, don't let anyone leave without Christ and knowing for sure they're going to heaven. We thank You that You're our God. And we always say You can do anything and everything. But Lord, help us to realize there are some things that it is absolutely impossible for You to do. And please speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We know God is all-powerful. That's one of the attributes we talk about with God. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. We know that He did amazing things. We read the Scriptures, and some of those things I just read. I'm in the New Testament in my Bible reading, and He turned the five loaves and two fishes into a meal for thousands. Again, amazing. He walked on water. Again, amazing, and it wasn't ice. Amen. He said to the storm, "Peace be still," and it was. He's the creator. He's the sustainer of all things. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're going through the book of Revelation, and he very, very clearly is the King of all kings. Amen. And we understand all that. And yet here in our scripture, verse 13, it says God cannot. Here is something God can't do. Here is something God cannot, it says. He cannot be tempted with evil. And we'll get back to that here in a minute. But I was just thinking about some things that God can't. God can't. And where the scripture says God can't. And so let's look at that. We'll do a little study on that. And I want you to understand these are actually very positive things for you and I who are saved. Number one is God can't please everybody. He just can't do it. I've thought about this many, many times. Notice in Romans 1, verse 21, we would have this idea that somehow everybody's going to be happy. Well, you and I can't please everybody. As a pastor, as Tim as an assistant, Brother Chase as an assistant and administrator in the school. We're constantly, okay, how can we, will this be good? I guarantee the family fun night. We looked at every aspect. I mean, we've got the Wii games. We got skee ball, ping pong, foosball, basketball, volleyball. We got everything. I mean, if you want to go out and throw a football over the mountain, you can. And, honestly, you come up, but I guarantee there'll be somebody say, well, that's stupid. Right? That doesn't make any sense. What? A ticket for ping pong? Huh, I got my own table. Yeah, it's tough to play alone. But I'm just saying there's always, you just can't make everybody happy. As a pastor, when we started our church in Bern, we thought, all right, well, these people are going to come. And I mean, it wasn't, the doors weren't open for just, and somebody was complaining. Why does it have to be in the basement of the library? You know, I mean, we worked, we decorated, we cleaned, we mopped mud, amen, to get it all clean. But sure enough, somebody was, oh, this is a dump. You just can't make, well, understand, God can't either. God can't either. He just can't make everybody happy. He just can't. Romans 1 verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they knew him. When they knew God, it says, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. They knew him. They knew. They watched what he did. They saw his reputation. They watched his power. But they weren't happy. They weren't happy. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That would be foolish, right? It is. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I mean, all that we hear, all that we've heard preaching on, all that we've experienced, we watch what God has done, all the wonderful things God does for us, and we still, isn't it amazing? We're not happy. People are not happy. People gripe, complain. Adam and Eve, they had paradise. They had a perfect place. The Garden of Eden was a perfect place. But it wasn't enough for them. He said, God told them there's one tree. You can have anything you want. I preach on this, and because I'm just like anybody else. You know, we want that one thing, though. Yeah, but God, I want the one thing. I mean, you have bananas here. You have oranges here. You have apples here. You have anything you want. You have the figs. You have any kind of food that man would ever want, and he's able to eat it, all that he wants to eat. But God said, here's one tree. You can't have that fruit. And here's, it's us. Yeah, but why? Isn't that the first thing? Why? Why can't I have that? Isn't that what your children say? You know, you say, kids, you can play in any part of the house, but my desk, you can't. But why? Why? I want to play at that desk. You know, wait. You have a whole playground out here. But I want the desk. Okay, kids, here's all these toys. And sure enough, you open up a toy box and there's all these toys. But do not touch my vase or vase for most of us. Right? Yeah, but why can't I play with a vase? Isn't that how we are? Isn't that amazing? God said to Israel, he said, I'll be your king. We just talked about it in Revelation. Do you know there will never be a time that man without Christ will accept God as king? Right. Never. We'll have a 1,000-year millennium. Are you listening? 1,000 years after the tribulation, and man won't accept God as king. And God said to Israel, he said, I'll be your king. I can do anything. God says, I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. I'll make everything wonderful for you. And they said, no, wait. What will our neighbors say? They won't see you. And they were so worried about what everybody else might say. Does that sound like us? It does, doesn't it? God said, I want to be your king. God says to the Christian here at Berean Baptist Church this morning, God says, I want to be your king. And yet we hold back and say, yeah, but you can have this, God, but you can't have this. That's not a king. Amen. That's not a king. Not if we say to him, you can have everything but this. No, he's the king. He has everything. Israel said, we don't want that. We want a man. And they got a man, and the man failed. And before I got saved, God offered me freedom. God offered me light. God offered me eternal life. God offered me freedom from my guilt, and he offered me forgiveness. And I knew I was guilty, and yet God offered me forgiveness. And how many times did I say no? How many times have you said no when God offers you eternal life? You know, God says, here, I've provided a way for you to go to heaven. And we said no. Wow. Because he gave us a choice. So many Christians, again, you know, it's like God says, I want you to be pure. I want you to live right. I want you to be holy. As I am holy, be ye holy. And yet, we just so many times choose the world and the world's way. You see, it's impossible for God to please mankind. It's impossible. He just can't do it. He just cannot do it. Now, when we get to heaven, and when we have a new body and we get rid of this old nasty, wicked, vile, carnal flesh, oh, he'll please us then. We'll be satisfied then. But until then, we just struggle with all that stuff. And so there's a thing. It says in James, God cannot. Well, there's something God cannot. God cannot please everyone. And it is totally impossible for him to do that because man is so sinful. Number two is what I talked about in James. It says in verse 13 of James 1, he cannot be tempted with sin. And so God can't sin. God can't sin. Now, to go along with that, let's turn to Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk chapter 1. I want to show you something. And let's go ahead and make this one number 2, if you're writing these down. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. Page 1435 in your super giant print Bible. Habakkuk 1:13. It says this, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Now it doesn't say cannot, it just says canst not. So again, it's something God can't. He can't even look on sin. Now, number 3, we're going to talk about how he can't sin. That's what James talks about. But the Bible, understand this, God can't even look on sin. Can't even do it. His eyes are so pure, he can't even look at it. Job tried it. He said this. He said, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. Job understood that. But folks, we don't realize that God can't. We say, oh, I just want God to watch over me as we plunge into sin. He knows we're sinning. There's no fellowship, the Bible says in 1 John, as a Christian, but he can't even look on sin. You say, well, how are we all going to make it to heaven? Excellent question. I'm so glad you asked. Because Adam and Eve had that very problem when they sinned. Right? They had that very problem. God had come and fellowship with them. I mean, they sat down with God every morning. The Bible says they walked with God in the cool of the morning. I think they drank coffee. Amen. And they had wonderful fellowship with God. And they could have anything they wanted in the garden except from the tree. And then they sinned against God. And immediately they knew he wasn't going to be able to look on them. They were naked. They knew God was not going to be able to look on. It's amazing how we've lost all that in our own thinking as Christians. How we somehow think we're going to just do our own thing and sin against God and have wonderful fellowship with him. We're not going to do it, not without going to him and confessing our sin. We somehow have this idea that man, you know, through our religion, through our religious rituals or whatever, somehow we're going to get rid of sin. We're not going to do it through any works that we do. You will not go to heaven on your own works because our works, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. And so God can't even look at it. His eyes are so pure, he can't even look at it. But he knows when there's sin. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to cover it up. They tried so hard to cover it up. They tried and they did everything they could. So they took some big old leaves and they sewed them together, their own works. That's the first religion, by the way. And boy, they got everything together and got their fig leaves together and covered themselves up. But the problem is, the Bible makes it very clear, that didn't do it. God is still looking for him. Adam, where are you, Adam? And what's Adam doing? He's hiding because he knew it didn't do it. And I don't care how you're trying to get to heaven today, if you're trying to work your way to heaven, if you're trying to get there through religion, through baptism, through whatever it may be, you know deep down it doesn't work. Because God can't even look at sin. Can't even look at it. And God had to, for the first time in the Garden of Eden, God had to slay an animal and take the skin of that animal. The blood had to be shed, and God covered Adam and Eve so he could then fellowship with them like they did before. That's why it's the only way to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ, because our sin cannot be covered any other way. It is absolutely impossible. The blood had to be shed. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he shed his blood so that we could have fellowship with God. And when when Jesus hung on the cross and took my sin on him, he looked at the Father and said, my God, why hast thou what? Forsaken me. Because the Father could not look on the Son. The only time that's ever happened, the only time it will ever happen, Jesus died on the cross because God wants to fellowship with us now. God wants us to go to heaven. That's why when somebody, you know, they want to argue with me about losing your salvation, I said, well, then how are you getting to heaven if you can lose your salvation? Well, get saved again, then I say, so if you die before you get saved again, what happens? Well, you know, I don't really sin that much. And I say, boy, it's a good thing, because if you sin in even a teensy, eensy, weensy little bit, you can't get to heaven. Right, if you lose your salvation. But see, if the salvation that we have is the blood of Jesus Christ and it covers my sin and it blots out my sin and my sin is gone, not based upon what I do after that, not based upon how I live after that, listen to me, it's gone. How are you going to get to heaven? Well, I'm getting to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the mercy of God and the grace of God, and there is no other way, because God cannot look on sin. And my friend, if you think you're going to get to heaven any other way, through some man-made idea or something like that, you're as foolish as Adam and Eve. Huh? When they sowed those fig leaves together, it will not work. So if God can't look on sin, it stands to reason, number three, he can't sin. He just can't sin. In fact, the Bible says in verse 13, it says, for God cannot be tempted with evil. He can't even be tempted with it. It's not possible. He cannot sin. And look at Psalm 145, verse 17. Psalm 145, 17. Way back in the Old Testament, Psalm 145, toward the end of Psalms. And verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. He's righteous, he's holy, he cannot sin. That's hard to imagine. By the way, we're going to be like him one of these days. When we get to heaven, when we're with the Lord, and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, we won't sin either. We won't have a wrong thought. We won't have a wrong feeling. We won't lust. We won't desire. We won't say, why can't I have that tree? Oh, what a blessing that's going to be. We'll be so content, so joyful, so thrilled. Amen. By the way, we can be like that here on this earth if we just stay away and draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to us. God can't sin. God can't sin. That's why when we're in his presence, we often feel dirty. That's why as we kneel to pray, we often have to start out with, God, forgive me, I failed you again. You know, it's interesting when you think about God sinning. Specifically, notice Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. And I am so glad that this is in the Bible. And I'm so glad that it's clear in the Scriptures. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, notice what it says, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He promised eternal life before the world ever began. He promised that there would be, and the Bible specifically says he cannot lie. He cannot steal, he cannot cheat, he cannot murder, but he cannot lie. Thank God, in light of the fact that I have his word right here, that means that it is all true, it cannot be broken, because God cannot lie. Absolutely impossible. A criminal stood before a king. The criminal was about to have his head cut off, and He asked the king for a drink of water. And he couldn't drink it. He was so nervous. He got the water in his hand and he was shaking so bad he couldn't drink it. The king said, now listen, he said, just calm down. He said, I want you to get your drink of water. He said, your life is safe until you drink the water that's in that glass. And immediately the criminal threw the glass down and it shattered. And the king said, your life is safe because I will not break my word. You know, God has given his word to you and I. He gave his word about eternal life. If there is no eternal life, then God is a liar. But he can't lie. If there is no everlasting life, then God is a liar and he can't lie. If there is no salvation in Jesus Christ, then God is a liar, but he's not a liar. He cannot lie because he can't sin. He can't lie. He can't lie about his word in John 17:17. Thy word is truth, the Bible says. His word, it's truth. The world mocks the world. I was reading about something recently on some news thing I was reading about, and it said something about the myth of Christ. And it just really irritated me. Amen? I mean, the myth, the world, that's how they look at it. The storybook called the Bible, the myth of the Word of God. Hey, it's not a myth. It is God's Word. It cannot be broken. It is true. Thy Word is truth. We sure don't have a whole lot of truth out there today. Hello? Yeah? Elderly man was dying. He said to the pastor, as the pastor was visiting, he said, Pastor, he said, I can't remember any of God's promises. I'm really having a hard time. I just can't remember God's promises. And the pastor looked at him and said, do you think God will ever forget? You know, that's what it all boils down to, folks. He doesn't forget, and he doesn't break his word. He knows his word, and he keeps his word. And he didn't lie to us about his word, folks. That's why we got to stick with the old Bible. We got to stick with the old King James. And he didn't lie about his word. He didn't lie about love. For God so loved the world. There is love. It is love. It is the only love that is real love. It is God's love. It is self-sacrificing love. It is the love that put Jesus Christ on the cross. It's the kind of love we should have one for another. God didn't lie about it. It is there. You say, well, I don't like old so-and-so. But God says you're supposed to love them. And if you have Jesus Christ, you have the love of Christ in you, he says you will love. Amen. You say, well, I don't. Maybe you don't have Christ's love. Maybe you need to check that out. He didn't lie about it. He didn't lie about heaven. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I think about it all the time. In my mind, I see heaven. I see mansions all over the place. Now, I know I'm looking forward to Jesus, and I think the streets of gold are pretty exciting. But in my mind, I see those mansions, and I'm not talking about pup tents. You know, well, bless God, just give me a little cabin in the corner of glory. Forget that. I want my mansion. Amen. I want great big old pillars, big old white pillars. Glory to God. Mansions with marble floors and maybe some gold walls. I'm not talking about cheap gold. I'm talking about that real, real shiny, almost clear kind of gold. Amen? He didn't lie about that. But as sure as I'm standing here telling you he didn't lie about heaven, he didn't lie about hell either. And man has pushed it aside. Oh, that's a myth. Like Jesus, you know, he's a myth. Oh, like the Bible, that's a myth. It's a story. It's a tale that somebody told. No. God cannot sin. Therefore, he cannot lie. And when he spoke more about hell than he did about heaven, we should have paid attention and said, hey, wait a minute, this must be real. It is real. There is a hell. It is fire. It is eternal. It is not going to burn you up and poof, you're gone. It is eternal hell. It is the judgment on sin. But folks, nobody has to go to hell. I hear people, well, that's just too bad. That's too mean. That's too rough. God would never do that. But God made a way so man doesn't have to go to hell. And it isn't something that costs you all your money. It's not something that costs you anything. Amen. Except to acknowledge you're a sinner. I'm amazed how people stop right there and say, I don't want to say that. I'm not that bad. I've never murdered anybody. But the Bible says we come short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter how bad your sin. The Bible says if you sin in one point, you're guilty of all. Amen. You say, that's pretty harsh. Yeah, but understand, God made a way. Nobody has to go to hell. I thank God that at the age of 17, I learned that truth, I heard that truth, and that truth convicted me for a little while. And finally, I came to Christ and was saved. If you're not saved today, you can be saved, and you ought to get saved. You ought to get saved. God cannot sin, therefore God can't lie. And if God said that there's a hell, there's a hell. If God said there's a heaven, there's a heaven. If God said we can be saved, we can be saved. If God said, I'll give you eternal life, you have eternal life if you did what he said to do. Amen. Joshua 1 verse 5. I don't know how many times the devil comes throughout a week and he says, well, you know, God can't. Just like he did with Eve. He still does that. You know, well, God didn't say you'd die if you ate of that tree. Hey, whatever God said, it's true. Devil, you're the liar. John 8 says you're the father of lies. Tell the devil he's a liar next time. Tell him he lied when he says you can lose your salvation. Tell him he's a liar when he says you can't be eternally saved. Tell him he's a liar because God says you can. And God will never lie. God never has lied. God never will lie. Everything he says is true. What else? Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5. God can't. God can't please everyone. God can't look on sin. God can't sin. Number 4, Joshua 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God can't fail. It's impossible. He cannot fail. That's hard to imagine. I mean, we literally fail a lot. I mean, all over the room. We're just a lot of failures here. We try this, we try that, and we fail. We fail at this, we fail at that, we fail. You know, I'm going to read through my Bible this year, and I guarantee the room is full of people that started, but you failed. By the way, pick it back up and just go ahead and read anyway. Well, you say, it's March, you know, what am I, I've already blown it. No, you only blow it if you don't pick it up and read it. Go ahead and start reading it. Amen? You know, well, I'm going to, we made all of our vows, and, you know, I'm going to pray every day, and we've already failed at that. Ah, well, I'm going to get into bus ministry, and we already failed at that. Hey, don't die a failure. Understand you fail, but get up. Go ahead and do it. You know, well, I told God I'd start tithing, and, you know, I blew it last week. Yeah, we noticed. You say, but that isn't, the devil's the one that says to you, well, just try next year. No, go ahead and do it now. Amen. God can't fail. And there's books written, you know, God failed in the creation. God failed. Look what man did. Well, God didn't fail, man did. Look what man did, man sinned. God just said, I'm going to give man a choice. God could have made man a robot, but he didn't. God made man a free-willed being. So we have a choice. God didn't fail. Man is the one who sinned. God didn't fail. You know, some people say, and there's books written, that Jesus failed because he ended up dying on a cross. Wait a minute. The Bible's very clear. He was born to die on that cross. That was his whole purpose of coming. I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. How could he save the lost? He had to die. There was no other way to save the lost but for him to die. Oh, no. His by the way, didn't he rise from the grave? You know, to say that his death was a failure, it's amazing these people that write these books. What amazes me the most, not that they wrote it, that somebody bought it. I never understand that. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. All the books that have been written against Christianity, I still don't understand. Why in the world would you go against something as positive as Christianity is? Where it's all about love. It's all about for God so love. Well, you talk about hell and you talk about sin. And oh, that's our problem. We like our sin. God doesn't. Amen. He doesn't. And there's a price that had to be paid, but he said, I'll pay it. I'll pay it. Acts 2, verse 23. It says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. You know, Christ had a plan. He planned to die on the cross. That was the will of the Father from the beginning. And he planned to live a perfect life and walk on this earth and not sin. And he planned to be crucified on an old rugged cross. But bless God, he also planned to rise again, to come again. And he's going to come again. Amen. Oh, you hear it all the time. Well, you know, he was supposed to come way back. Well, ever since what? 1844, or was it 19? I don't know which one it was. Was it 1844? The Millerites. They dressed up their cows in white sheets, and they all put on white sheets, and they stood on a hill, and their leader said Jesus was going to return, and they were all waiting. I started to say they're still waiting today, but I think they died. He never came. But he said nobody would know when. So that old boy should have read his Bible. Amen. He will. He will. And more, you know, that's a myth. Oh, the myth of Christ's return. The story that the Christians are spreading around that he's coming. Yes, I know. And there were a bunch of people spreading around the story about an ark one day, too. And they spread that story around. And old Noah got up and preached and yelled and screamed and hollered and said, hey, you need to get in the ark. God's going to judge the world. And they laughed and they made fun and they tweeted about him and they Facebooked against him. And let me tell you something, old Moses, and Moses, Noah, whoever it was, you know, he went ahead and built his ark and he got on the ark and they stood and laughed and mocked. And the rains came down and the floods came up. Right? Yeah. He's coming, folks. He is going to come. And Satan tried to stop his birth. And he's going to try to stop him from coming again like a dragon going after the child. He's been after him and after him and after him. And the King of Kings will return. And he's going to take us. And the rapture's going to happen. And the devil's going to explain it away somehow. And they're going to say, look at all those fruitcakes. Yeah, we're gone. Call us fruitcakes. Too bad on the way up, we can't tweet back. Huh? Because I'm telling you, he's coming. He's not going to fail in the things he said he would do. And I'm telling you today, he won't fail you either. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's what he said. He won't fail you. He won't fail to save you when you ask him. He won't fail you in the times of trials. He won't fail you if you have sorrow today. He won't fail you when you're tempted. He always makes a way to escape. I don't care who you are today. He said, I'll make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. It may be tough. You may be struggling because we lust. We desire things that are wrong. But he said, I will always make a way. The devil can tempt. The devil can throw all kinds of tempt. But God says, look around. There's a way out. Look around. There's a ladder to climb. There's a place to go. There's a back door. Somehow, he said, I'm going to make a way that you can get out of that temptation. He always does. And he'll not fail. He will not fail you. Understand that today. I'll tell you, if there was no other reason to get saved, if heaven wasn't real and hell wasn't real, the fact that God would never fail you today would be a good reason to get saved. Because everybody else fails. Watch the bank fail. Watch people that you've trusted for years fail. Any human being, we fail. He won't. He won't. Number five, here's another thing he cannot do. Absolutely impossible. And I've already talked a little bit about it, but number five is he cannot send a saved person to hell. He cannot. God can't. God can't. You say, well, you can't tell God. I don't have to tell God. God already told me. It's in his word. He can't send a saved person to hell. It won't happen. It can't happen. Jesus said you must be born again. That means you're born into the family of God. I was born the first time into the Rogers family. I was born at 17 years old. I was born into God's family. And I got a new name, amen? And I'm a new person, and I'm a new creature, and I had a new family. And yes, I'm still humanly in the Rogers family, but bless God, eternally, I'm in His family. I am His son. I am His child. And when you become a child of God, you're always the child. Just like when you become a child of humans, you're always their child. No matter what. Oh, do your kids ever act up? No, not mine. Oh, yeah. And we act up in our family too. Thank God, though, He doesn't disown us. Or He just said He does. But He doesn't. We're in His family. And the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell with us. This is what I love. You know, the Bible is so clear. The Holy Spirit, when I got saved at the age of 17, God's Spirit came and lived inside of me. Came to dwell in me. Amen. And therefore, He said this. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never. How long's never? Never. So when's He leaving? Never. Well, can you drive Him away? Never. Can you make Him mad? Never. Bible says I can grieve Him. Bible says I can quench Him. But He said, I'll never leave. Amen. I can get Him all upset, but He said, I'll never leave. I don't know how He ever came, knowing me. Right? But He did. And He comes to live inside of us. Therefore, let's say that I did end up in hell, Brother Tim. If I did end up in hell, which I can't, but if I did, He's with me. It's no longer hell. Hello. Huh? He said, I'll never leave thee. I am with you always. Here's what He said. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be. Can't send someone who is saved that He said shall be saved. Can't send them to hell. They're saved from hell. Saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Shall be saved. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Shall not, are you listening? Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm not asking if you're a Baptist. I'm not asking if you like Baptist churches. I'm just asking, have you ever called upon Jesus to save your soul? Because my Bible says, when you do that, you shall not come into condemnation. I'm amazed how many would say, well, you know, I don't think that's the way to go. But that is the way to go. Because God said that's the way to go. He said in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Glory to God. God can't send a saved person to hell. Are you saved? Listen to me. There are no saved people in hell. If somehow we could go into the bowels of hell today and we could look around and we could look as far as the east is from the west and interview all the people, there's not one person that has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in him. There is not one person who called upon Jesus to save him. I'm telling you, in hell, there are no saved. And you won't be there either if you're saved. It is not possible. It can't happen. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident. Paul said, I'm confident, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When did that begin? It began when I got saved. It began, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. When did that start? When I believed. By faith. When I trusted him, by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship. He said this. He said, I started a work in you, and I will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? He can't. God can't send a saved person to hell. That's why my question would be, are you ready? Amos said, prepare to meet thy God. Have you been saved? Because if you've been saved, you will not go to hell. You say, I deserve it. Oh, we all do. But Jesus hung on a cross to pay for our sins. And that brings me to the last thing, number six, that God can't do. God can't bring an unsaved person to heaven. It's not possible. Okay, so imagine here you are today and you've never been saved and you refuse to get saved. You just refuse. Well, I understand Jesus died on the cross. I understand he paid for sin. Or maybe you say, well, I don't even believe any of that. I don't think it's true. Okay, fine. You say, well, I'll just take my chances. Okay, you'll take your chances. But what it boils down to is somebody is going to have to pay for your sin. Because the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And you say, well, I'll just have to take my chances and I'll deal with that later on when the time comes. And okay, all it boils down to is you will pay your own debt. And that payment is a place called hell. You say, well, what's the difference between you and me? He paid my debt, and I accepted that. Can you imagine, seriously, could you imagine one day in court, all the folks that are in jail, they come and they stand before the judge, and the judge stands up and says, you know, I've paid all your fines for you. I've paid all your debts for you. I've paid everything. I've worked it out. I've paid it all for you. And they're all lined up. They all got the shackles and the cuffs and everything else. I've paid it all for you. Everything's taken care of, but you have to accept it. You have to, number one, admit that you did wrong, and number two, you have to accept what I paid for. Could you imagine the dummy that would say, nope, I refuse. Nope, I will not accept that. I will not. Let me tell you something. The judge of all the world has said, I have paid your debt for you. You just have to accept it. It is a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so the reason God can't bring lost people to heaven is because they have to pay their own debt. Because they refuse God's payment. Notice 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9. Just about done. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Isn't that clear? Unrighteous, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Very clear, right? The unrighteous, they will not, they cannot. Why? Because they have to pay for their sin. They've chosen to pay it themselves. But notice what verse 11 says, and such were some of you. You say, yeah, because when I read that, preacher, I saw myself there. A couple of those things. Uh-huh. What's he say next? But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Do you understand, no matter what area there you fell into, adulterer, fornicator, effeminate, whatever area you fell into there, you say, boy, that was in my life. And isn't it wonderful to know that we can be washed? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's the difference right there. I will never pay for my sin, because he already did. But if you're here without Christ, or you have a loved one, a neighbor, a coworker, somebody you know, they have to pay their own sin. That was their choice. And God can't bring lost people to heaven. It is impossible. Again, we go back to what we said earlier. God can't look on sin. If somebody's unsaved, their sins have not been blotted out. They couldn't go to heaven because God couldn't even look upon them. They can't, nothing, there will be no sin. Nothing unrighteous will enter into heaven. The only way to get to heaven is you must be born again. You have to be saved. You have to call upon Jesus to save you. Revelation 21, verse 8. Just a couple more verses and we're done. Revelation 21, 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, another list. Idolaters, liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second day. I mean, that's very clear again. But again, he doesn't call me that. What's he says, I'm righteous. He says, I'm a new creature. Why? Because I trusted him as my Savior, and he made me a new creature. You say, well, have you done any of those? Have you? Because if you ask him if I have, he'd say, I don't know. I can't see any of those things because the blood covers it. Glory to God. Last verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It isn't going to be flesh and blood that goes to heaven. It's going to be those who are saved, who receive a new body one of these days, a body without sin, without fleshly, carnal, wicked desire. Jesus made that all possible when he died on the cross, paid for our sins, rose again to give us new life, new life. You know, sin has to be punished, has to be paid for. Jesus did. Why don't you accept that? Why don't you accept that? Because God can't bring lost people to heaven. By the way, that's why you should be concerned about your loved ones, your neighbors, your friends, people you say you care about, and they're not saved. Understand, there ain't going to be any do-overs. Okay? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. There's not going to be any, one religion talks about purgatory. There is no such thing. There's no in-between. When you die, it's decided. That's why not get saved today? Let's all bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.